Welcome to this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live, the show which ensures that you profit from your time spent here with experts, either through their insights, information, or simply learning from them. And today we have Dean Jones. He's joining us live from US. He's a renowned meditation teacher, mental health counselor, and spiritual guide with over 20 years of experience in the field. And more we'll learn about from him about spiritual awakening, about motivation, meditation, and a lot of things about life and the universe. Welcome to the show, Dean.
Thank you, AJ. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
You are welcome to the show. You are welcome to India in this online form. And I'm sure not just in India or in your country, but a lot of people across the globe will be able to benefit from our discussion today. We'll be talking about, as I said, in the backdrop of spiritual awakening, we'll understand many things about life, death, afterlife, reincarnation, and many things beyond that. So my first question to you, Dean, is why are you so interested in talking about things, about life is fine, but you know, beyond that, I want to understand, when did it begin, or was it from the very beginning?
It was not from the very beginning. I divide my life into essentially two halves, even though it's not an equal half. For the majority of my life, I lived a conventional life and was involved in business and the family priorities and things of that nature. And approximately 20 to 25 years ago, it was not a definitive time that a transition began to happen. My transition began as it begins with everyone. The point of awakening, and there's big discussion in our country that I'm familiar with that is trying to define what woke is or what awakening is. And awakening is very simple. It's nothing more than the awareness of the individual that they are not happy with the way that life has been going, the way they've been conducting their life. That's awakening. That's all that is required. But it is from that point that it becomes the obligation of the individual to understand what it is that they are not happy with, number one, but number two, begin to search for alternatives to how that they have been living their life in order to find happiness. We are all motivated, we're all motivated to get more of what we like. Now, what we like varies from individual, but we are all motivated, whether we are still in that phase of our life where we're essentially lost in the rigors of day-to-day living, which I simply call the chaos range of our life. And it continues to be our motivation after we awaken. Of course, the difference between that chaotic period of our life and our spiritual purpose part of our life is awareness. While we are in that chaos stage of our lives, we have awareness, but that awareness is directed outside of us. In other words, we're trying to manipulate the world around us in order to give us more of what we like. What we like is variable. I mean, it changes from day to day. After we have that awakening and after we have a period of time to investigate, to experience, in other words, a more focus towards a spiritual process, then what we like changes. It's no longer tied to transient events or transient interactions. It becomes more focused inwardly. The more we focus our awareness inwardly, the more we become aware. In other words, it's a process. We begin to surrender our beliefs that dominated our chaotic period of our life and becomes more focused inward, which is where we begin to find the answers that provide us with greater happiness. And that is immutable. It's not, it doesn't change. It's not different from one person to another person. What we are having to become aware of inside of ourselves and surrender is different, but the process is exactly the same. And the feelings of greater happiness, which is our measure of how we're doing, is the same for everyone. What we are tasked with, and we exist within a range of consciousness. And relatively speaking, it is a very low range of consciousness. It is the beginning of three levels of consciousness that are defined as the experiential levels. In the range that we currently experience, our task is to become aware. We not only become aware, but eventually, as we progress through this process, we become awareness, so that we ideally exist in a state of awareness as we continue to have experiences, many of which are similar to the experiences that we encountered when we were in that chaotic phase of our life, but our perspective and the meaning and the benefit to us transforms as our awareness transforms. And so this is the evolutionary process of consciousness. And this continues on way beyond our range of consciousness and exists to some degree prior to that. Everything that we experience is consciousness at some range of awareness. And so we evolve. That evolution of consciousness is synonymous with the process of enlightenment. Because of the interpretation of the Buddha, and the Buddha is, we, most of the world associates the concept of enlightenment with the Buddha because we profess that. But enlightenment is not a destination. Enlightenment is a process. Every person is enlightened to the degree they have allowed themselves to become enlightened. The more enlightened we become, the more happiness that we experience. And the difference is that we are, ancient Greeks used to call this the churning of our own wheel of fate. The more we attempt to churn our own wheel of fate, the less happiness we experience. Whatever happiness we do experience while we're in that phase, which is what I initially referred to as the first half of my life, the more diligently we strive to find happiness in that phase of our life, the more chaos we experience, the more unhappiness we experience, because any happiness is simply transient. We have to immediately find the next degree of happiness through experience with the outside world, as opposed to becoming aware of our condition of being and surrendering those beliefs that we've incorporated into our being to propel us forward.
Right, right, Dean. Thank you for that. You know, now to understand it in much more, you know, deeper sense is that, you know, that all these things that we are doing, we have been doing for centuries, we have been thinking, a lot of great people have come on this earth in Indian thinking, even God incarnated in the form of humans, and they lived their lives here, and that is where we got a lot of wisdom, a lot of other things. I want to understand, amidst all these things, why we are here on this planet, because there are animals, there are plants, there are so many things, and in this whole universe or multiverse, why did we have to come there? Who is guiding us? Who wants to do us, you know, what we are doing? Or who wants us to put into all these different things and want us to, you know, find our right path for ourselves? You must have been thinking a lot. A lot of people have talked about this. I want to understand your thoughts about on this whole process of why we exist at all on this planet Earth.
Okay, which is a loaded question. We are part of creation. All that we experience is consciousness. Creation began with the one infinite creator who is outside of creation with a desire. And that desire, very simply, was to know itself, and by the wisdom, or through the wisdom of the one infinite creator, determined that the most advantageous and most complete way of knowing oneself is to experience oneself. And so creation began with the projection of two concepts. The first concept was infinity. The second concept was intelligence. These concepts didn't merge. They remained parallel, but they created the concept of intelligent infinity. Within that concept of intelligent infinity, the creator projected a distortion. That distortion was the concept of free will. Free will, again, has been a topic that's been debated by philosophers for centuries, but not with a degree of understanding. We certainly have the option of choosing to go right or to go left or to go up or down or whatever. That is the product of free will. Free will itself is the concept of the perception of separation. We perceive ourselves as separate from the Creator, which in fact we are not. The projection of the concept of free will into that intelligent infinity concept created the creator as the subject. The creator itself, the one infinite creator, is the creator as the object. The creator within that is intoxicated with free will, and I will explain the intoxication in just a moment. The intoxication of free will became the creator as the subject. And so consequently, the creator as the subject interacted with the creator as the object, and the creator as the object, by observing itself as a separate entity, learned of itself by experiencing itself. The creator as the subject had the same motivations for exploration of the self as the creator as the object. It's an undiminished creator perspective, but it is conceptual, and it interacts with the creator as the object. So the creator as the subject began to develop what we consider to be creation. Everything within creation is a fractal of the creator as the subject, which includes us. By design, the expansion of creation and the exploration of creation is essentially divided into eight ranges of consciousness. We exist within the third range of consciousness, which is, relatively speaking, very low on the process. In the first fractal of consciousness that was created, called a density, the creator as the subject is referred to as the eighth density. The creator as the seventh density is a fractal of the eighth density. And an interesting thing happened when consciousness became fractalized into the seventh density is its five inherent characteristics of the creator became evident. And those very simply are awareness, love, wisdom, unity, and stillness. So seventh density became all of these, but with priority of evolution became stillness. The sixth density became unity. The fifth density became wisdom. The fourth density became love. And we, the third density, are tasked with becoming aware, becoming awareness. Now, these are hierarchical only from the standpoint of the degree of awareness required to become, discover our inherent characteristics as a creator. We are still all of those inherent characteristics, but our capacity, because of our degree of awareness, is to become awareness, which is essentially like going to the third grade. You have to learn the lessons of the third grade in order to learn and be able to do the work of fourth grade. So we are learning the lessons of third density. Now, the second and the first density, second density is organic matter. The first density is inorganic matter. All of the elements that appear on the periodic table, atmosphere, water, and even fire. Fire is the most basic element of consciousness. The lower two, the first and second density, are foundational. They do not preserve the lessons of their experiences because they are nondescript. But they're necessary in order to provide the environment for third, fourth, and fifth density to explore itself. And so in the purpose of creation is so that the one infinite creator might know itself by experiencing itself. And by extrapolation, our purpose is to likewise explore ourselves by experiencing ourselves. So when we have this awakening that we were initially talking about, what we are doing is becoming aware of the dissatisfaction of our perceived purpose here, whatever career that we've chosen to be is simply the vehicle that provides us with experiences to know ourselves. But our mission, our task, is still to explore ourselves. Now, we exist simultaneously in what is referred to as the metaphysical world and the physical world. The physical world actually is a product of the lower two densities. The environment that we experience consists of inorganic matter, and it is enhanced by organic matter. So what we perceive as an authentic environment is a product of the lowest densities of creation. We couldn't function because of our low level of awareness. We couldn't function without those parameters established for us. And what science physicists particularly have defined as the natural laws are simply the characteristics of the behavior of the lower two densities. And that remains relatively common throughout all of creation, but it does vary because the nature of the creation of that perceived physical world experiences changes as the consciousness, by their free will, chooses how they interact with each other. So we misinterpret repetition of the perception of experience as proof. It's not proof, it's just repetition. And as our awareness escalates, then we begin to lose that attachment of the authenticity of the physical, which is not, we can conceptually become aware of that in our range of consciousness, but we won't begin to experience that until well after our evolution into the next range of experience. So why we are here is because it is a very intense environment, but we exist as what is called a consciousness pattern in the metaphysical world. Before we are born, we are that consciousness pattern. And that is what is contiguous. That's what doesn't die. We are an analog projection. What we perceive ourselves to be right now is simply an analog projection of our metaphysical self, which is a consciousness pattern. Part of that projection as an analog projection is that we have a physical body. We are given a physical body, but we reincarnate all the time. The average human on Earth has incarnated over 3,000 times, some as many as 8,000 times. The progression, because of the intensity of the physical world experience, is where most of our progression occurs. It's intense. We're supposed to become aware. There are experiences that do not incarnate into the physical, and their evolutionary progression is considered to be very lethargic because they don't have the intensity of the physical world experience to progress. So our purpose here is to become aware, to become awareness, to begin to surrender our perceptions of authenticity, of our separation from oneness, but also to learn the inherent characteristics to the degree we are able to.
Right. Right, Dean. So if our purpose is still there, that we need to reincarnate, we need to come back in one form or the other, where do we go after when our this one particular physical body is no more? And so do we reincarnate immediately, or is there a gap in between? Where do we go after we are gone from this earth?
Well, it's good that you have made reference to time. Time is a concept that we create because part of our design is to be able to only process one thought at a time. People think, well, I'm multitasking, I'm thinking multi thoughts at the same time. No, you're not. You're just vacillating between topics. But we can only process one thought at a time, and that's by design because that's what our awareness has the capacity to do. Because of that, we perceive time to be linear, and we also perceive time to be immutable. And to us, it is because of our low range of awareness. So when we are in our metaphysical consciousness pattern only and not physically incarnate, then we're not in time. So when you say immediately, you know, we may perceive that to be immediately, but that could be, you know, 100,000 years in our metaphysical self because there is no time. What we do in our metaphysical self is we, if you think of it as a sports team, okay, we're on a sports team and we have a game, say we have a game on Friday night. But the week before that game is we're studying game films of our previous game. We're learning new plays. We're thinking about, well, you did this, but you could have done that, and that would have been better for the team and so forth. So in between lives, we're learning. We're exploring what we did do in the previous experience, previous incarnation, in preparation for incarnating again. And when we feel that we've digested the information enough, then we're gonna go out and we're gonna do better in the next game, and then we incarnate again. Now, the problem is part of the requirements for our participation in this range of consciousness in the physical world as we undergo what is called the forgetting. And the forgetting means that we have to forget our memory of our analog projection is wiped clean so that we don't bring significant contamination from our previous experiences into this experience. We begin as an infant, and we are gradually given greater potential to access our awareness as we go through toddlerhood and puberty. And we are tasked with advancing within that from not a clean slate, but from a relatively clean slate. And so that forgetting, we forget all of those good lessons that we learned. We made the commitment, I'm going to be a better fullback or whatever it is, you know, that I deem myself to be in the game. But we forget all that. We are also veiled, which simply means that we have limited capacity, not devoid of capacity, but we have a limited capacity to communicate with our metaphysical self and our higher self, our guides through this process, this evolutionary process. And that is for in all third density experiences, and there are millions and millions of planets that share the same range of consciousness that we do, not all are veiled, but for the difficulties that the Earth experience has had, veiling was considered to be necessary because, number one, it's limited the complexities of the information available to us because we were not doing well. And it also was a protective device that that protected us from intrusions, interactions from those beings that sought to abuse and take advantage of us. And so that added to the complexity. The Earth population has had great difficulty advancing. The ideal plan is that we all begin in what's called primordial darkness, which means we don't know anything and we perceive ourselves to be in chaos. And through having experiences, the ideal is that we evolve within the range of consciousness that we experience. And it is an infinite range of potential exploration within our range of consciousness. Those who have achieved the upper dimensions of our density are much more aware of than that we began at, the folks in the lower range of consciousness. And for a variety of reasons, we have not been able to really go past the midway point of that range of consciousness. And so we have for many, many, many years cycled within the lower ranges of the consciousness. In an ideal situation, the consciousness would evolve to the upper ranges and provide models for us to emulate, to move the entire median range of consciousness within the density, within the experience, higher until all are eventually becoming awareness and ready to graduate to fourth grade, to go to the fourth density. And so what we do in between, while we are here, is to explore ourselves, to awaken and explore ourselves. What we do in between lives, whether before or after, and it's a continuous process, is we're looking those game films, we're reviewing what we did in our previous incarnation, we're learning, we're still having experiences, but the nature of experiences are completely different because we're out of time. Number one, we're not in time, and we don't have the veil of perception of separation to the degree that we do when we're in between lives. Now, ideally, we began this process with enough awareness to incarnate in 3 to 4 physical incarnations simultaneously. And as we progress through the density, we normally would have the capacity to incarnate 8 or 9 simultaneous incarnations. But we don't, we haven't done well. And because we haven't done well, we have essentially lost the energy, lost the capacity to do more than 1, maybe 2 incarnations simultaneously. And so our progression has been slowed because our limited access to experience in the physical world.
Right, Dane. So is our existence more related to science? Is God more, or create our creator more science oriented, or he or she is much more looking at the spiritual side of things and perhaps experimenting or trying to achieve some sort of a understanding of things that he or she is trying to understand? Why I ask this is, now you see, even in terms of looking at alien theory, some people say these are all advanced civilizations in the universe who came much before us, and we thought that, okay, this could be the gods or something else, and now they keep on, that's the whole way process is. In terms of, you see, in the US now, the government has said that, we should look at aliens more from the science perspective, in the realm of science, and less of, in terms of conjecture or speculation. And this has led to think maybe they have got something hidden in Area 51 or something. So this is looking at why did it do so? I don't know. I want to understand how should we look at ourselves in all these aspects of creator, God, aliens, and where do we stand? Where are we going together?
We are God, but God is a religious concept. And in order to have a God, then you have to reinforce that perception of separation. Every religion in the world has been founded on the concept that there is a God and then there is us. And that's not correct. The one infinite creator is pervasive. All is one. It's called the law of one. Everything is the creator. We are conceptual part of the creator, just like the eighth density was a conceptual projection of the creator. We are a conceptual projection of the creator, experiencing ourselves at this range of consciousness, which is defined by our degree of awareness. Free will is an intoxicant, and I had made reference to this earlier. And it works just like when you drink whiskey. What whiskey does is it lowers your degree of awareness so that you are less able to function with your capacity, ultimate capacity. Free will does the same thing. The more intoxicated with free will that we are, the less aware we are of our true self. And so the densities are created, this descending range of densities is created by increasing the degree of free will intoxication of consciousness as we decline through the densities. We are very intoxicated with free will at this point. Our evolution requires us to surrender that intoxication, that free will intoxication, and more of our true self emerges. When people talking about healing, all that we're doing by healing is surrendering the distortions of self-perception and becoming more of who we really are. There is no distinction between what we deem to be aliens than us, other than our perception, degree of perception of separation, our degree of free will intoxication. All that we experience is consciousness. People perceive, because of the limitations of our awareness, that there is a heaven and a hell. Hell is a projection of our need for retribution, for wrongdoings. Well, there is no right and there is no wrong. There is exploration of the self by virtue of our surrendering our distortions and becoming more of who we really are. In that period in between our lives, there is nothing punitive about that. You know, if we, quote unquote, screwed up while we were incarnate, then there's usually great remorse on our part when we return to our aware self, our consciousness pattern. But there's great coaching, there's great support, there's great guidance on, you know, this is where you, quote unquote, went wrong. That's where you deviated from your plan for your incarnation. And this is what you need to correct next time in order to be more successful in your evolution.
Understood. It's almost like a video game. Sounds like a video game that try better next time so that you can score better.
I often make the association with our experience as incarnates as a video game. There are certain parameters for the video game, and you can do anything within those parameters that you are able to do, that you want to do. But you're not going to go outside of those parameters because there is a curriculum to each range of consciousness. And our task is to explore that curriculum and learn that curriculum. And if we're able to just flip-flop around all over the place, and it's overwhelming to us. We could not be successful because the information would be much too vast and much too intense. So you had made reference before about science. science is an interesting concept that emerged, obviously, from the Enlightenment period in humanity's history. But science is preoccupied with the physical world and understanding the physical world theoretically with the intent of improving the lives of the participants. But science ventures, in order to understand science, you have to go beyond that, because the physical world is an illusion. It is a distortion of our perceptions. And so as we progress through the densities, particularly it's dramatically effective in the fourth density, we begin to surrender the authenticity of the physical. And so consequently, these natural laws that we alluded to before begin to dissolve. In order to graduate from the next range of consciousness, we will actually surrender our perception of the authenticity of the physical, and we will no longer need to incarnate. That will no longer be part of the process. We will be able to, if we so choose, but we don't need that anymore. It's no longer an incentive for us or a device for us to adequately explore ourselves.
Wonderful, wonderful. There is much to learn about these things, about us, about the universe, about our creator, be that whatever name we want to call it. But for those people who want to learn more from you, more about you, what is the best way for them to do so, Dave?
Well, I've put most of this into books. A book to help people understand what they need to do today in order to advance their awareness. I've written a book called The Identity Model. It's available on Amazon. If they want more an introductory level of information on the big picture that we're talking about, I've written a book also available on Amazon called Edifying Children of a Lesser God. I have a book coming out next year that is my compendium book, and it goes into infinite detail, or not infinite, it goes into great detail about the entire nature of our experience, including archetypical minds, the path of those that choose to deviate from the unity process with creation, and that's called The Enigma of Consciousness. And that will be available for pre-order, I believe, in the middle of December from John Hunt Publishing Company in London. And I also have a podcast called Chatting with the Arcturians, which I have regular communications with the Arcturians, which are simply a more advanced organism that is interested in providing us with information and sharing this information. And we've progressed. We've got about 22 episodes out, and we're trying to keep it relatively low-keyed so people won't be all overwhelmed with the information. But as we progress, then it'll become more intense. So it will be a class in and of itself, you know, just listening to the Chatting with the Arcturians podcast. And it's available on most all major podcast hosts.
Wonderful, wonderful. With this, it's a wrap on this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live. Thank you so much indeed for joining us.
Thank you, AJ. Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it.